you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Another episode of the Believe You Me podcast. We're recording this on a Sunday night because I leave for Mexico in the morning. Now, it's Sunday night, which 7:22 p.m. for me. That means 10:22 p.m. for Lewis. I appreciate you guys accommodating me right now because I'm going on vacation. I never go on vacation. I work my ass off. And when I'm there, I don't want to do the podcast. Plus, I'm traveling tomorrow. I'll be on a plane. But Lewis, it's only 10 o'clock. It's not 3 o'clock in the morning. What is wrong with the energy levels, my friend? What's going on with you?
You know what's wrong with me. Stop acting like you don't know what's wrong with me. I got a nasty toothache. I don't know what I did. I don't know what I ate. I was eating fucking almonds. I think I was eating an almond and I did something because my whole side of my face, my tooth is killing me right now.
Is that the best bullshit you could come up with? Like you could have said, oh, I was doing many rounds of sparring with total badasses and I ate a head kick, but I didn't even flinch. You know, you could have said that, but you're saying you were chewing on some nuts.
I had nuts in my mouth. I was laying
corn
down.
Nuts?
Had some nuts in my mouth, had my eyes closed. I didn't care whatever nuts would be in my mouth in that moment. I was
having a
pretty
good time. I don't know if I believe you, if I'm honest. Well, I do now because you're going on about it so much and you're going,
what a weird lie.
No, here's why I think, because you said this morning, I said, what time do you want to guys do? Yeah. What time do you want to record? You said 7 p.m. I said, yeah, sure. It works for me. And then about an hour and a half ago, you're like, can we do 6? And I'm like, well, of course he wants to do 6, or maybe it was a few hours ago. Of course he wants to do 6.
It was like 5 hours ago.
All right, well, whatever, 5 hours ago. I'm like, of course you want to do 6, because it's early, and you've just probably just realized it's late as hell there for you.
No,
and
because like, I've
planned my day. I've got to run around. And then just shortly, a while ago, can we do 6? Because I've got, we need a short one. We need a short one because I've got really bad toothache. I'm like, motherfucker just wants to go to bed.
I'll go along. No, the reason why I wanted to go a little bit earlier was because James is here and he's having a sleepover with his friend Max. And I realized, I was like, why am I starting so late? I was like, I'll just put the movie on for them an hour earlier and I'll just start the podcast then. I in my mind, I was like, oh, I was going to put the movie on for them around bedtime and they would fall asleep watching the movie. But it didn't matter. Look, none of this fucking matters. I'm fine. My toothache is just one of the most annoying, nagging, it just sucks. It's not the end of the world. It's not taking me out of commission. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. It just makes everything a little bit more annoying.
No, it does. It's horrible. It is annoying because it's just there constantly. Ibuprofen, Lewis, I told you before we started. Are you telling me you've got no ibuprofen in the house?
I don't know, man.
What kind of facility are we running over there at the Gomez Mansion?
It's the Gomez 110th Mansion. I have to go look for it. It's a whole to-do.
It would eradicate the pain. It would. For anyone listening, because Rebecca, obviously, as you said on the last podcast, she lives a blessed life. She doesn't work, but she used to work and she used to be a dental nurse and she knows about this stuff, you know. So there you go. She's very annoying, actually. Anytime I say, because you know, now and again, your wisdom teeth flare up. She's always like, let me see. And she's ripping your mouth apart and trying to get in there. And she's injecting things into my gums and stuff like that. But yeah, there you go. Rebecca says, if you had some ibuprofen right now, maybe we could all not have to hear about it constantly, but you're fine.
I'm fine. I'm gonna pretend it doesn't bother me. It's just if I close my, because I can't eat. Even if I eat on this side, like just the whatever it is, like it's
the
this
vibrations side of, or the sensation travels.
No, it's swollen. This is swollen. If the tooth just touches down on this side, it fucking hurts like hell.
You've got an abscess.
Why would you hope that for me?
For the sake of the podcast, just that we got something fun to talk about.
You know what? I'm constantly
going through surgeries. I want you to feel the same pain. I don't hope you got a an abscess. I don't wish bad things to happen to you. But still, it'd be funny if it did.
Can I be honest with you?
Go ahead.
For the GSP fight, I hoped that something would happen with your rib. I prayed for it.
You probably did, and you probably sabotaged my fucking ball strap as well, my cup. For those that don't know, the thing fucking ripped. This hasn't been talked about enough. In the third round or whatever round it was, fucking my jock strap ripped, and the things, and I have a big metal cup that the ties use.
Huge metal
cup. Yeah, and it's swinging about in there. It's very, very, very distracting. Very distracting. No, I mean, I couldn't have seen it coming even if I wanted to, but it's no wonder I didn't see that coming. Anyway, that's all news. Don't want to talk about that. I fly off to Mexico in the morning, Luis, for the first time. I have been to Mexico one time. But family vacation. You ever done Mexico, Luis?
I have. I went to Mexico with my son's mother back when we were together. And then I stayed at a resort, all inclusive resort, like an asshole. We just discussed this in the last show. Terrible food. Ate the seafood at the all inclusive resort like a fool, like an
idiot.
Did you get toothache? Dude, I got a fucking everything.
Did you go on Legion of Skanks and bang on about it for an hour?
Doggy, let me tell you something. I got sick to my stomach, food poisoning. Just projectile diarrhea, the worst I've ever had in my entire life.
Projectile diarrhea. I think you're looking at projectile vomit, but
no, projectile.
That's impressive.
I was shooting out of my asshole, both sides actually. And my last 2 days there,
both sides. You have two assholes.
My mouth and my asshole. The last 2 days I was there, I was just completely sick the whole time. Tried to get a massage. My body was. I was having cold shivers. I was sweating.
When you said, yes, I've been to Mexico, I thought you were going to say, because I've seen you tell the joke a few times. When you're doing stand-up and you sample the free cocaine, I thought you were going to say that.
That's also true. I went to Ecuador. I forgot about that trip. That was a crazy trip.
Well, maybe not safe for, maybe not PG, and not, we don't need the full details of the trip, but go ahead and tell the people, tell them a little bit. Tell them how do you get free cocaine when you're in Mexico?
Well, I went to the Cabo Comedy Festival. I'm going
to try this out this weekend and put it to the test.
Yeah, well, no, there's little guys that stand on the beach that give you samples. They're trying to, like, get you. It's like an after-school special. They're like, oh, hey, senor, you want to try some cocaine? So that's what I was doing. All night I was just taking samples of cocaine throughout the entire night. So the bit goes, I was like, you know, 4 hours later, I ended up in fucking Chile or wherever. it is really true. I was taking free samples of cocaine. This is so long ago, years and years and years and years ago.
Oh, well.
I mean.
And you've grown. Of course you have. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Very much excited. Just going to be nice to get away for a week. You know what I'm saying? That. I'm not
Who's going? Away.
Just me, Beck, Callum and Ellie. No, me, Beck, Lucas and Ellie. Callum's in England, obviously.
You're leaving Lucas?
Yeah. Fuck him. He's 11 years old now, buddy. I don't know what the legal age is to leave, but maybe in a few years you could do. Looking forward to that. So anyway, a lot of good fights last night. You know, there was the UFC event didn't have, you know, and I'm not insulting it, there was a lot of prospects, a lot of young talent on the card trying to make a name for themselves, but it wasn't necessarily like a pay-per-view star-studded cast. Main event was always intriguing from day one, but there was a lot of young talent. But as I say, it fucking delivered, man. And I love those cars. Those cars that people sleep on sometimes are often the ones that you pissed off that you missed. Because as I say, you're young in your career. You want to make a big splash. You know, I'm not saying that as you get on in your career, you get complacent, because the risks is just as high. You know, the consequences are still as daunting. If you get a head kick in the face, you get a head kick in the face. Doesn't matter if you had one fight in the UFC or 20 fights. You know what I'm saying? But still, those younger guys, they're always trying to make a name for themselves, and they often bring it every time.
Yeah, I mean, look, the overall very, very exciting fights. I mean, I ended up, I was doing a comedy show last night, and we had it backstage in the green room on. So I only ended up missing, I think, one fight, or even just maybe even a portion of one of the fights. But overall, very, very exciting. It's almost like those are the guys that are going to push themselves that much harder. You know, all of those, every single one of those guys are trying to get fight of the night. Every single one of those guys are, it's almost becoming like the new, because the UFC has fights every weekend, this is like the young, hot prospect talent that are honestly, it's almost like it's still their audition for the UFC, even though they're in the UFC. They're in the UFC. They're not in the UFC. They're not solidified. They're not like, they don't have career, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, safety.
I'm trying to help. They don't have security.
Security. They don't have career security the same way some other guys, some other veterans are. If they have a bad performance or two, even once they get into the UFC, boom, they can hit the road. So those guys are all really fucking trying.
Yeah, well, not that I'm trying to correct you, because I would never do that.
No, please.
But, but a lot of the people came from the contender. That's actually legit, the audition to be in the UFC. But your point does stand. Your point does stand, because you're absolutely right. And I think, who was it? I think it might have been Darren Till. I was talking to Darren Till recently. Maybe it was on the podcast. I'm not sure. But a lot of people think when they get to the UFC, that's it. We made it. Mom, we did it. I'm a fucking UFC fighter. And obviously now the UFC is way bigger. The roster's way bigger. And there's more fights and more fighters. You know, it's almost every weekend now. When there isn't a UFC on at the weekend, it seems unusual. It seems strange. I'm a lot of the time lost for something to do on a Saturday night. If I'm not working, even when I'm at home, you know, I love just sitting on the couch and watching the fights. So it's more often than not there's fights on a Saturday night. It used to be back in the day, it was one a month, you know, and then slowly started improving. But when you get to the UFC, that's when the hard work starts, you know, excuse me. Having a cheeky little beer. I'm on holiday mode already. Why not? But yeah, when you get to the UFC, that's when the hard work starts. A lot of people think, you know, because to get to the UFC, I was going to say, isn't easy. And it isn't easy. It's a little easier these days because, of course, they need a bigger roster. They have to put fights on every week. I don't know what the roster was in 2004 or two or whatever, but it was probably around 100 people. Now I think it's like 500 or 600 people, so it's a little easier to get on. But people think sometimes when I get to the UFC I've made it. No, that's when it really fucking starts. Like Tom Aspinall was saying, you know, now he's really focusing on his diet and stuff like that because he's in the UFC. It's one thing to get to the UFC, it's another thing to stay there. Do you know what I mean? Because you got to win. You got to entertain. Yes, of course, they'll keep you around if you're a very, very excited fighter and you lose some fights. But even still, that good grace doesn't last forever. 2, 3, definitely 4, you're on your way. You know what I mean? So when you get to the UFC, that's when the hard work fucking starts.
Little ADD side note. I saw Callum training with Tom Aspinall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Friday afternoon.
Very cool.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. I said to him beforehand, I said, who are you training with? He said, Tom Aspinall and some big heavyweight from Bellator. And Tom is a big guy, but when we sit here and we talk to him like this on Zoom, you can't really fucking see it. And even on TV, you know, because I've never called one of his fights, when you see him, you can't really get the full context. But when he was next to Callum, because Callum's a fucking monster these days, and of course yeah, he's my son, so I'm bound to say that, but trust me, when I hug him when he was leaving for the airport, I can hardly put my arms around him. He's massive these days. But he was stood next to Tom Aspinall and this other heavyweight, and he looked tiny. Do you know what I mean? So as I was saying, you really get the context there. But no, he went into Team Carbon in Liverpool, had some training on the Friday. I said, come on, how'd you get on? And he told the truth, of course. He said, well, Tom's very fast. He's very big. He said, and we were pretty even for the most part. I said, go on. But he said, we were pretty even for the most part. And then he got me down. He got me down eventually. He said, that was only after like 3 or 4 goals or something.
Wow.
So well done, Tom Aspinall. Bully my little fucking son. I'll see you when I see you. Fucking take you down straight away. Pick it on my 20-year-old, Lewis.
All right, Bisping, good luck with that.
Hey, still fucking got it. Still got it. I'm coming for you, Tom. I'm coming for you. What else is going on with you?
Tom Aspinall beating you up in front of your kid.
Massive. And yeah.
Callum, run, Callum.
I'm like, leave him alone, Tom. Okay. Otherwise, I'm going to have to get involved. He's like, yeah, bring it on, dickhead. You're retired. You were 185. I'm 6 foot six. I weigh 250 pounds. And I'm 28 years old with two knees, one eye,
and I just zero surgery. Your son.
And he takes you down. And he doesn't, by the way. I fucked my wrist up. That's how I need surgery. I took Callum down. Did I tell you? Yeah, I took him down.
You don't got to tell everyone else. Come on.
I'm telling everyone, okay? I took Callum down. So, Tom, don't think you're all that just because you took fucking Callum down.
Yeah.
Callum, I take him down in my sleep. Fucking, you should have taken him down way sooner.
Tom, you're 250 pounds. You're huge.
Tom, you suck. What took you so long? Anyway.
Hey, Mike, let's take a quick moment and thank Stat Hero for supporting today's show. Do you know that 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? Is that really surprising? The game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention experts who have more tools and more time. You truly don't stand a chance. This is why we want to introduce Stat Hero to you. It's the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Now, here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It is you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup.
Yeah, so basically what you do is you name your stakes and the winner takes all. You have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time and nobody else does that. So, for example, let's say there's a basketball game going on and they pick Giannis, the Greek freak, James Harden, LeBron James. I'm struggling because my basketball knowledge is shite. But still, there you go. So they, and then you pick your three players and whoever has the better stats wins. And of course, you know, of course, these big companies, a lot of daily fantasy sports, you get involved. It's a bit of fun, but you're not going to win money. Here, it's a 50-50 chance almost. Of course, if you make terrible picks, that's on you. But on this one, you know, you're going to see their picks ahead of time. You think, hold on, I can structure a better stat lineup. So, I mean, that's essentially here it is. And you are in total control. Stat Hero is the daily fantasy sports the way it's meant to be, which is one-on-one. Play Stat Hero and change the odds right now. Go to stathero.com/believe. Sign up for free. And right now you can get 3 times back on your first play. That is giving you a 300% match, and that is unheard of. 300% match. All you got to do is go to stathero.com/believe. stathero.com/believe. You watch the sport. You know about the sport. You bore your friends. You tell everyone, oh, I know about this. Put your money where your fucking mouth is, baby boy. Go to stathero.com/believe. Sign up. Wow your friends. Make some money. You're welcome. Where were we? Should we go through some of these fights?
Sure. Yeah, you called them.
Yeah, I did. I did call them.
I don't know why I didn't think you were calling them. I think you, because you were making picks.
No, I didn't make picks. I didn't make picks. We broke down the fights. I did not make any picks. Yeah. You gotta stay out of that stuff. Just looking at the card here. Oh, I'll tell you what, the prelim, what are you laughing at?
Yeah, you said you have to stay out of that stuff. I'm assuming you mean the weed.
No, just to stay out of, like, you know, picking people to win fights and making predictions.
I thought you were saying I have to stay out of that stuff.
Like No, I've got to stay out of that stuff, meaning I can't make predictions because it seems like then I'm invested a certain way. You know what I mean? For the viewer on TV. Anyway, before we get into this, I've got to give a shout out to Chris Gritsmacher and Rafa Garcia. What a fucking great fight that was. Decision win for Gritsmacher, but you probably didn't see it, but dude, great fight. Rafa Garcia only had 2 fights in the UFC now. Showed a lot of heart, but Gritsmacher was fucking unreal last night. So shout out to those guys. Jason Witt took on Brian Barberena. You probably know Brian Barberena. Bam, bam. Yeah. Everybody loves watching him fight. He's awesome. And do you know what? We found this out recently, actually, when we did the fighter meetings. After his last fight, he was getting ready for another fight. Check this out. This is actually an interesting talking point. He was driving. I think he trains with James Krause. I'm not sure. Either way, he finished training and was driving home. He'd been there for the week. He had a 4-hour drive home to Kansas or wherever the fuck he lives. And he started having pain in his stomach. And he's driving along and he's getting more and more pain. And he told us this whole story at the fighter meeting. It was terrifying. And the pain was getting worse and worse and worse. So he calls his wife. He says, yeah, I'm having a lot of pain in my abdomen. And she's like, you're okay. Maybe you need to pull over. He's like, no, I'll keep driving. And then eventually he lost his vision. He went blind. So he had to pull over, obviously. And then he called his wife. He had ruptured 2 arteries in his stomach because he got a kick in the body in training. It ruptured two arteries and he had massive internal bleeding inside. So the paramedics showed up, took him to the hospital. He almost died. They had to operate on him. And then it was quite an extensive road back to the octagon. So just be careful, Lewis. Be careful with what you're doing in your training.
Yeah, no, be careful with you. You're the only one who's fucking kicking me in my abdomen.
Punch you in the abdomen. Abdomen.
You also kicked me. You happened to put me down with a punch in the abdomen.
Well, you know, you were trying to hit me back, but not still.
I did a crunch afterwards, and my abdomen spilled into my stomach. It was the most horrifying experience ever.
You're going to make light of Brian Barberini's injury. His abdomen literally was spilling.
No, I'm just letting you know that Brian Barberini needs to man the fuck up because I went through the same thing. I've been there, done that. And I'm still here. I'm doing the Believe You Me podcast, baby boy.
Yeah, exactly. But could you imagine that, though? Could you imagine that? So he had to have a bunch of surgeries and stuff. And anyway, he came back, didn't get the result that he wanted. Jason Witt, he's had three fights in the UFC, took his first on like 2 days notice or even less than that, I think. Got knocked out pretty quick. Came back, fought somebody, I forget the name, won pretty impressively. Then he came back for his third fight recently and got knocked out in 17 seconds. And when we spoke to him, he was telling us that he was tired. He was too tired and he wasn't getting enough sleep. And I kind of talked about it as he was walking out to the octagon on Saturday night. I said he was talking to him and one could be forgiven for saying that maybe they sounded like excuses, you know, because everyone gets tired in training camp. But he said he went to the PI and they did a battery of tests on him. And they said, you are the most stressed out fighter that we've ever seen. Well, they obviously didn't test me back in the
first day. I was going to say, goddamn. They've never seen Michael Bisping have any technical issues at a podcast.
Exactly. No, but, you know, so his system wasn't working correctly, apparently. It's amazing what they do in the PI. It really is a lot of technology. But, he looked great. You know, he took down Barberena in rounds one and round two. And then in the third round, Barberena turned it into an absolute fucking war. Did you see it?
Yeah. Third round was crazy. I only saw that round.
That's all you needed to see. The third round was amazing. It was must-watch TV. Well done, Barberena. But didn't get the win. Then after that, we had two contender guys, Melsi Bagdasarian taking on Colin Anglin. Both guys won on the contender. Both guys now got a crack of the whip in the UFC. Colin Anglin's a wrestler. Melsi Bagdasarian is a kickboxer. Striker, very, very fucking good one. And he looked sensational. Beautiful knockout, round two, 1:50. Man, he is a force to be reckoned with, that guy. Keep an eye out for that very name.
Super explosive. And the other guy, what was his name?
Colin Anglin.
Anglin. Oh, here we go. He looked really good too, dude. He was super tough. Look at this knockout.
Shit! Wow. Welcome to the
old chin on chin. Go on.
He was the one who landed. Yes, it was either commented on it, a couple of shots to the back of the head, sort of doing some like almost like hammer fists, like downward while they were standing.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that was him, but I saw a couple of people doing that, like hammer fisting standing.
Yeah.
It's not a trend I want to see much of, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
It's okay if you've got a hammer in your hand, but when it's just your fist and it goes from a hammer to a hammer fist, I find a good old-fashioned straight right hand down the pipe to the chin is a better approach.
Just a normal, good old-fashioned punch.
Just keep it basic. Let's go. Two knuckles to the face. You don't want to hit with this bit. That's padding. Yeah. There's a lot of padding there. It's flesh.
You hurt your hand.
That's how you check for a steak. Did you know that? You know, you check for the cookedness of a steak.
Yes, the tenderness of that part of your hand.
Tenderness of that part, yeah. How is it though?
That's medium rare.
Rare because it's soft. Medium rare, a little tougher. Medium, well done.
Nah, fuck that. I had a steak yesterday.
Where'd you get it? What part of your palm would have you been feeling?
I got the medium rare from, I went to Ruth's Chris, which is like a chain. It's a chain, but it's a great steakhouse.
It's a chain, but it's a bloody good steakhouse. Yeah, yeah. No, right. Ruth's really Chris is good. Awesome. Yeah. No, high quality. It's very good. Yeah. What were we talking about? You threw me off there with the steakhouse.
I'm hungry. Now I'm thinking about the steak.
What have you had for dinner tonight?
Tonight, order pizza for the kids.
As a tie. We eat too much Thai food. I'm hoping in Mexico there's no fucking Thai restaurant. I don't think there will be, but if there is, we'll be in there because I do like it. Anyway, next fight, Jared Gordon taking on Nicholas Stoltze. Jared Gordon taking on Nicholas Stoltze. Again, another contender guy. Nicholas Stoltze, a guy from Germany. Very good. Had one fight on Fight Island. Looked really nice, but he didn't get the win. Gooden, big, big welterweight. It's crazy how that man makes welterweight. If you saw him there, he's just fucking jacked. He's got massive traps on him. Big guy, went out there, got the finish very, very quickly. I think it was a right hand left hook. I'm not sure. He'd have to go back. Or we could just have Brian show us the tape, which is even better. That was a left hook right hand. Oh, yeah, look. Is that the one you were talking about? Yeah, that wasn't the best. I even mentioned that. Technically, though, that wasn't like, it was kind of like, it was a weird trajectory for the punch. But it just shows how powerful that man is because it doesn't matter, technical or not. It was a beautiful knockout delivered. So, yeah, well done, Jared Gooden.
Yeah, no, yeah, very, very powerful knockout. That was not the one I was talking about. I was on stage during that. So that's the first time I saw that, but that was awesome.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Then, co-main event, Cheyenne Bays taking on Gloria De Paola. I want to show you something here. I want to show you. Do you know what a technical stand-up is? You probably do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there are a lot of people that probably don't know. So Cheyenne Bays was, she had one fight in the UFC. Her and her husband fought on the same fight night, funnily enough. It was a few months ago. They both lost. It's a bit of a shame. Can you imagine that? You both get signed to the UFC. You're both fucking super excited. Then you both get to fight on the same night.
Then you better than losing your fight and having your chicken win hers. Got to go to her fucking after party celebrating.
I don't know. No, if you really
fucking,
love
you got a gash down the front of your face. Your arm's broken.
Yeah, she's like, make me a coffee, dickhead. You can't even win your fight.
She's off to the races. You're back in the fucking regionals.
Well, hold on, because that's actually the scenario now. Because Saturday night, Cheyenne Bays, she took on Gloria De Paola. De Paola came from the contender, good striker from Shoot the Box in Brazil. And the fight hit the floor really quick. And I forget the exact specifics. I've been hit in the head. I might have had a few beers. I'm not sure, but just stay with me. She ended up on the floor, and she was trying to get back up. And Cheyenne Bays was standing over. Here it is.
The
here,
Cheyenne, also in the.
But look at that. Just replay. Look at that.
There's a better angle on that, by the way.
That angle's perfect. That angle's perfect. That's all you need to see because, see, the way she's standing up there is so technically deficient. Hold on. I'm going to see if I can do this. It's not big enough. But when you're standing up, oh, hello. But when you're standing up, when you're here, you get up, you scoot back, you put your arm there, you lose it. As you stand up, this arm has got to be there. And you drill it all the time. And it's part of your, let me fix my camera. It should be part of your warm-up drills. It should be part of, you know, just your general training.
It's how I get up anytime I get up on the mat.
It has to be. And that was a big mistake. Because, well, obviously she got kicked in the fucking head. guys, and I'm going to tell you why that was a big mistake, okay?
Bisping, please, use your professional, in your professional opinion, why was that a big mistake?
Well, basically, going back throughout time, you see, human beings, whilst being very adapt to adapting to their environment and building houses and structures, still aren't very good at getting punched in the fucking head, okay? No, because you got to have your fucking hand there, and if your hand's not there, what's going to happen? Shin on shin. I tell you what, Cheyenne Bays, though, was very lucky because had that hand, because the hand only just came off the floor, like, I don't know, it looked like as the kick connected. So it could have been a disqualification.
Yeah, I don't know if she was timing it that way. I think she got lucky. Dude, I think she went, she kicked her in the head.
She did not time it.
She happened to get lucky that
she did not time it at all. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because, hey, I'm not criticizing her because I've done it in the heat of the moment. I mean, when I need Jorge Rivera in the head, I wasn't thinking about the rules at that moment in time. You're in a fist fight. You're in a fight. Simple as that. Adrenaline is spiking. She was in the same moment. You know what I mean? Her opponent's getting up. She saw an opening. She went for it. And it's fucking beautiful. Then she gets on top, some ground and pound. Big finish against a decent opponent as well.
Yeah, and she got, if I'm not mistaken, 60,000, 75,000.
So, I mean, obviously, As I said before, Shayne Bays and JP Bays, that's her husband. Her husband's from South Africa. Used to be a very good rugby player, if I'm not mistaken. Got into mixed martial. No, very good wrestler. I think he was representing South Africa, maybe at the Olympics or something, but a high-level wrestler. Then they met each other. They fell in love, moved to Vegas, whatever. They're training to be fighters. They're both being fighters. They both get signed to the UFC, as I said before. Unfortunately, it didn't go their way. On both of their debut, didn't go their way. But they've moved to Vegas. And like you're training now, but you're a comedian, you know, it's not your life. You know, you have a, you have a career, you know, you are the great Luis J. Gomez, might I add, you know what I mean? But a lot of fighters, when they start, when they're doing it like that, when they're 20 years old or whatever, they don't do anything else. And it's all in. They're fighting. And both of these people, that is the road that they're on. That is the mission that they've decided to go on. They're together. They're in love. They're both doing the same thing. They moved to Las Vegas. And they're putting everything into it. And I remember when fucking hell, in the early days, I was flat broke. Rebecca was broke. We didn't have money. We didn't have a pot to piss in. We were borrowing money off everybody trying to make ends meet. And they're in the same position. You know what I mean? And they get signed to the UFC pretty early in their careers, but still they got signed. And it didn't go their way. But they'd borrowed money, apparently, to buy a house or to rent a house, should I say, in Las Vegas. You know, and it's tough. Coming up as a fighter is fucking hard. That's why when people say to me, what about Callum? And we have fun with it, of course, but I don't think I want him to fight because it's such an unstable ride. It's a roller coaster and it's fucking hard. And it's even harder to become successful at fighting. I'm not getting on my soapbox here for a minute, but apologies. But like people don't realize it's so fucking hard. And when I was active as a fighter, I would go in gyms all over the world and the world-class talent that I would see was incredible. I think, fuck me, this guy could make so much money and he's sleeping in his car or sleeping on someone's couch. The road of a fighter is fucking hard and the chance of making it is minute. Anyway, they both get signed to the UFC, they both fail, but she gets another shot, she wins, and then she gets a $50,000 bonus as well. And I think, Brian, I think you've got the footage here of when she actually found out. And it was beautiful. Check this out.
You got a performance of the night.
Yeah! Whoa! Let's go! Let's go! Hey, Shy.
Red Shy.
And then there's another one that I sent through of her at the press conference talking about her financial situation. As I say, and as you cue that up, Brian, thank you. A lot of people are coming out of the woodwork and they're talking shit. This is ridiculous. Fighters in the UFC shouldn't be going through these kind of financial difficulty. And again, I'm not coming here to fucking fight the battle for the UFC. She only just got with the UFC and she had one fight and she lost. She's not a career UFC fighter. Do you know what I mean? She had one fight, you get the chance and she lost. That doesn't, of course, you're not set for life. You're still going to be fucking struggling. You know what I mean? I don't understand all these assholes or these websites that come out and want to shit all over them, but still.
Well, yeah, there seems to be, I watch this happen in comedy all the time as well. Like there seems to be just a thing where if you do it, I guess it's like, well, no, you deserved a certain amount of money. And, you know, just because the UFC, the owners of the UFC make so much money. Anybody who gets in, it's a little different. Just getting in is one thing. Just doing comedy and getting on stage is one thing. But developing an act, developing an audience, developing a following, having people want to pay to watch you. These are all extremely valuable things. And that's a very, very big part of it in any form of entertainment that you're in. So I think that, I mean, look, I am of the, I'm sort of the thought process of keep it sexy, right? So maybe, you know, for just like Cheyenne and like, you know, I'm not giving her advice at all. And I think it's sweet and I think it's great. And I think it's incredible that she's being real. I would rather her be that. But I also do understand where if she wanted to, you know, act like, oh, it's not that big of a deal and sort of like go right back to it as well.
Yeah, but sorry to interrupt there, but at your age and you're stable, you know, and you've got James and you've got a place to live and you've got a business and you're a successful comedian, you've got a podcast network, it's very easy to say that. When you're young and your childhood and your surroundings and your the way you were brought up has led this to be one of your only opportunities in life. And you probably come from an impoverished background, and life was always fucking hard, and you certainly weren't born with a silver spoon in your mouth. And these people, some of their stories, some of their backstories are fucking terrible. Some of them aren't so bad. Some of them are great. Some of them come from very nice homes. Doesn't have to be, but generally that is what you see. You know, so for them, you know, to get to a point where now, you know, she walked, well, it was $50,000. She got $20,000 for the fire. That's 70. And she would have had a bit of Reebok money as well, maybe some other sponsors. So, you know, $80,000 last night. Most money she's ever seen in her life. I don't think there's anything wrong with showing your excitement for that. I remember when I was given my first bonus from Dana White and Lorenzo Fertitta on top of the money that I earned. I think I got 12 and 12 coming off the Ultimate Fighter. That's 24,000. I got a check for 50. It was 80, but the tax was paid. So I had 50. So that was 74. And I had some other money from sponsors. It was like $80,000. I remember it's on this documentary, Britain's Ultimate Fighter, sprinting up the fucking steps to see Rebecca. She was at the top of the stairs, sat by herself. No team came out with me, completely by myself. She flew out by herself. She's in the stands, fucking in the nosebleeds, of course, because I'm a fucking no one back then. And I fucking had $80,000. And I remember sprinting up there and fucking, you know, look at this. Because it's not just about the money. It's about the affirmation. It's because you go through all that sacrifice. You know what I mean? You're going through it. You're training for Jason Ellis. You know what I mean? But imagine if this is like, you know, and I'm not downplaying what you're going through, by the way, but imagine if this was your life. This was your one call and you're in the prime of your life and you're not doing comedy. You're not doing anything else. This is fucking it. And you're not chasing any other dream. You're just putting everything into this, all the eggs in one basket. You know, it's a gamble. It's a big fucking gamble, but that's what these people do, you know. And then you've got someone with you, your wife, the mother of your children, and they're probably thinking to themselves in private, fucking, I don't know about this. He lost his last couple, but fuck me. I would like it if he got a job, maybe a part-time job on the side. Do you know what I mean? And then you get that. It's the fucking confirmation that, hey, we're on the right path here. I told you we can do this. So that's why it means so much.
Hey, Mike, let's take a quick second and thank Blue Chew for supporting today's show. Blue Chew really does just change the way you do everything in the bedroom. I mean, the confidence in the bedroom, the way you do it in the bedroom, it really is great. If you don't know, Blue Chew has the same active ingredient as Viagra and Cialis. It is known to work. It truly, genuinely does work, except it works faster. It's chewable. They cut out the middleman, so it's less expensive. It really is great. Blue Chew has given me so much confidence. I got a new girlfriend. She has no idea. It's all Blue Chew. She thinks I'm just great. Baby boy, I'm going to tell you right now, it's Blue Chew completely.
Listen, looking at the state of you today, Lewis, you're going to need double Blue Chew, okay? Listen, or maybe half a Blue Chew. Either way, we're going to up those energy levels. But yeah, listen, at the end of the day, Viagra and Cialis, they're the market leaders in this. Well, guess what? This is the same stuff, but it's cheaper. You don't have to see a doctor. You haven't got to embarrass yourself. You haven't got to go to the pharmacy, pick it up, all the rest of it. You haven't got to pick up your dick pills. You haven't got to walk into a gas station. So, excuse me, got any dick pills? And by the way, this is not for people with erectile dysfunction. This is for people that just want to have a better experience when they are with their loved one. And who doesn't want that? You're with your loved one. You're at night. It's private. You're grown adults. You're consenting. You want to have the best time possible. You want to blow the roof off. You want to blow the socks off. Whatever way you want to describe it, that is what you want to do. And by the way, the chewables from BlueChew.com are prescribed by a doctor and made in the USA, and they give you confidence in the bedroom every single time. You and your partner will love it. By the way, all you got to do is chew it and do it. Go to BlueChew.com. Use the promo code BELIEVE. That is going to give you your first month for free. All you got to do is pay $5 shipping. BlueChew.com, promo code is BELIEVE. All you got to do is pay $5 shipping, and they're going to give you the opportunity to blow the mind of your significant other. I mean, it's that simple. Boom. There you're going to look like a god. You're going to look good. You're going to feel good. You're going to chew it. You're going to do it. And you're all going to have a bloody good time. BlueChew.com, promo code BELIEVE. Just pay $5 shipping. You're welcome.
Have you ever had this feeling? Because I was talking to my chick the other day about this fight. And she's like, I know you're going to win. I know you're going to win. And in my mind, I'm going like, you don't know shit about fighting. Like, you have no idea. Like, you know, you're just like, you're just saying the nice thing. But she actually truly genuinely is. Even if she fucking watches both train for a month, she'd have no idea how to assess that.
No, she wouldn't. She wouldn't have a fucking clue. But what would you prefer? What would you prefer to say? Because Rebecca used to say it all the time. She was always full of confidence with me. Always full of confidence. I remember when we first got together, not that we're rich. I don't class us as rich, but we're doing well in life. Because I wasn't there, but Rebecca told me, she said, oh, you know, because I had no job, no prospects, didn't go to college, just got out of prison. Rebecca, same thing, pretty dad and just got out of prison, but she had no qualifications. Yeah, yeah. She did a little two stretch when she got here. You know what I mean? She was whoring herself out and selling drugs. But dad said to her, what are you going to do? And she goes, I don't know. We're going to be rich. And he's like, well, why do you say that? She said, I don't know. I just think I've got faith in Michael and I didn't have fucking faith in myself. Do you know what I mean? But you make it happen. You make it happen. So what would you prefer that she said, no, Lewis, to be honest, I've seen you with your shirt off. You're going to get your ass kicked. Is that what you prefer?
Well, here's the thing. Like, no, I wouldn't prefer that, but I know that it's bullshit. That's all I'm saying. Like, yeah. I just know.
No. She has faith in you. So that's what I'm talking about. I lost my train of thought there with Rebecca. She had faith. She had faith. And she was like, I don't know what it's going to be, but I got faith in my man. She's got faith in you, bro. She's got faith in you, brother. You should be said, you know what? You know what? Thank you. And we're going to fucking do this. And I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you that faith wasn't misplaced.
I just wake up. They're smelling salts. Like, I watch Jason Ellis walk away with her.
You're like, what's going on? Because you won't know what's going on. You still don't know. They'll tell you you've been knocked out. You're like, oh, okay. You don't know. You still don't know. I remember when I got bingoed off Gastelum, the last one. Fucking, I had no idea. But then it's a weird one because of your pride. You still have pride as a man, right? So you pretend that you know what's going on. Do you know what I mean? Right. Because by letting on that you don't know what's going on, it's like you're even more knocked out than you were when the whole world's already saw you go down. So it doesn't matter. But you know what? I remember being in the locker room and it's like, fucking did not have a clue what was going on. But you pretend, oh, yeah, sure. And they're like, you okay, mate? Yeah, good. Anyway, whatever. So you won't have a clue when you come round. But it'll come back to you eventually.
Oh, good. Yeah, well, you know. That's actually the only saving grace is like, yeah, he's a bigger dude. So if I do lose the fight,
is he bigger?
He's my size. Like we're going to weigh 195 pounds.
How tall is he?
It's like 5'11" maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I thought he was short. I don't know why. I always thought he was shorter than that.
No, 5'10", 5'11". We're going to be comparably sized.
Yeah. Well, look forward to it.
Let's go.
Let's go indeed. All right. So anyway, Cheyenne Bays. Oh no, play that part, Brian. She was talking about it at the post-fight press conference.
I think sometimes because we talk to fighters every week, we sometimes forget how much a difference that 50 grand can make to your life. What impact is that going to have on you?
I am negative in my account right now, so it's going to make a big difference. And my whole paycheck actually is I have to pay back $15,000 for a loan I got from a few people. So, you know, I made 10 and 10 from my win and show. So that 20,000 was just gone. So, and I was okay with it. I was okay if I won and that check was gone. Cause I made the move out here and I knew that this fight was just going to be for the move, but it was the best decision me and my husband made for our careers. And just to get that bonus, I've been so broke my whole life because of this sport, but it's so worth it to me. I love this sport, but to get a $50,000 paycheck, you know, my husband's going to tell me to put it away. I'm definitely going to want to buy some nice stuff, but, you know, I like,
don't buy anything
I like
to too buy nice.
A little bit of things right. For the house and for my animals. I really
thanks, bro.
She got me a little. I got a little emotional.
Yeah, yeah, because as I said before, of course, you know, it's probably more money than she's ever seen.
Harrington's crying right now.
Good, I'm glad. Good.
She got me a little teary-eyed, dude. That was like, yeah. I didn't watch
it. It's a beautiful moment because, as I say, the money's great and the money is good. And it is life-changing money to her because it will change her life in the short term. You know, it won't last forever, but in the short term, the pressure's off. You get validation that you're on the right path. You can pay your bills. You can pay back the money you owed. You can train and for your next fight.
I don't mean to just cut you off, but you said something there about it life-changing. It is life-changing. It's not the money's life-changing. The
your life changes short term. It does.
and what you do with that, right? So now you have some momentum. Now you have like holy shit, dude. Now you know what it tastes like to get a big money payday, to feel that again. She's gonna want that again. She's gonna push herself that much harder. You know, it could set her off on a trajectory to maybe become a UFC champion one day. Who knows, right? Incredible story.
And as I said, but trust me, as a man that's been there through a similar thing, it's more about, you know, because you do have those doubts. Any professional athlete out there, do you know what I mean? Or any amateur athlete, you go through a lot of sacrifice. You know what I mean? Like I watched today on the Olympics, I found out it was yesterday, but the 100-meter sprint, three women from the Jamaican team, they got gold, silver, and bronze. You know what I mean?
So right about now.
Right about now, we're going to run like the wind, you know? And they fucking did. Jesus Christ. They got gold, silver, and bronze, which is fucking incredible. But can you, the amount of sacrifice that they must make to do that, do you know what I mean? Or anything, the Olympics are on now, so that came to my mind. The amount of sacrifice you have to make, but then you always think, fucking, I'm going to do that. You know, you can quit at any time. You can go get a job. You can go do something that's way easier, you know? But of course, you're chasing a dream. But it's a fucking dream. And everyone tells you it's a dream. And it is a dream. You lie there thinking about it at night because it's not a reality. You don't know Dana White. You don't know these people. You haven't done that. You haven't lived that life. It's a dream. So you give up your life to chase it. But at any time you can stop. But then when that happens, when you get $70,000, when you get $50,000 bonus that you weren't expecting, and all of a sudden it's like, yes, I knew my dream could become a reality. It hasn't done yet. But that's what it means. And that's why it means so much, because it's the first step to hold on. I fucking knew it. I fucking knew it. I knew I could do this.
Well, she sort of touched on something as well that I really connected with, where she was like, you know, I've been broke because of this sport. And I thought that was an interesting way to put it. And it you know, it's like the highs are high, the lows are low, right? And it's like, you know, for the same reason that she might become like a world famous, you know, fighter and you know, who knows, you know, what could happen with her in her career, right? It could also crash and burn, and she could be broke and have physical issues and psychological issues. And, you know, and it is such a risk. You have to have this undying belief in yourself. The stakes are so high. It's an incredible thing. I have so much respect for fighters because the stakes are so high, especially at the highest level of this sport, where it's like, God damn, dude. I mean, 2-3 fights in a row could mean she's a champion or she's fucking homeless. Crazy. That is crazy.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. Listen, I'm just thinking through the sentence before I say it there. But it's like, you know, you're talking about her, and in a few fights, it could be over. As you say, she could be on a path to being the champion. She could be on a path to being a household name, you know, or you can crash and burn. You could lose your next few fights, and that was it. But if nothing else, she still had that big moment. She still had that big memory, and that'll be there for life. But I was trying to think in my mind if it's a worthwhile comparison. It's like these beautiful girls, they go to Hollywood, you know what I mean? They think they're going to become an actress. It's a fucking dream. You know, or guys, you know, you go to LA, it's full of every waiter under the sun is a failed fucking actor or a failed actress, you know what I mean? But they all came to that city with a dream that they were going to become a leading lady or a leading man, become an actor sometime. Do you know what I mean? And for some people, it works out. It's few and far between. Most of them crash and burn, you know? And I guess we'll find out what happens, but I wish her all the best. It's a beautiful story. And she looked fucking good. I'll tell you that. She looked fantastic.
Can I also say, you know, look, it wouldn't be the Believe in Me podcast if we didn't point out that she's really hot, too. Holy shit. She's a smoke show, dude.
Well, that definitely helps. That's not going to hurt, let's be honest. Are you kidding me? Oh, he's not her there.
Shut up.
Yeah, no, she's a good-looking chick, so good for her. No, yeah, and that's what you want. You want to be marketable. You know, I hate to say it, but unfortunately, you know, it is a sad reality. You know, it makes you more marketable, simple as that. So, all the best.
Hey, Mike, let's take a quick moment and thank Paleo Valley for supporting today's show. Paleo Valley is such an incredible, healthy snack. I've been eating beef jerky forever. I mean, that's my go-to snack when I'm on the road, want a high-protein snack, low-carb. But you don't know what's in that beef jerky. You grab a bag of it from the gas station. You start looking at the ingredients. You're like, holy shit, am I a mad scientist? What are all these words? Paleo Valley, all organic, grass-fed beef. It's delicious. It's healthy. It is really the best way to grab some beef jerky.
It is the best way to grab some beef jerky because the usual stuff that you will grab is full of crap, is full of shit, is full of chemicals. I could go on and wow you with my chemical brilliance. You know, I won't do it, though. Listen, this is the Believe You Me podcast. You didn't come here for me to show off just how intellectual I am, but I can do that. But there's bromine, there's mechanically separated chicken. There's all kinds of hormones and shit and stuff that will give you cancer. And yes, that's why I said that. In fact, the CDC this week confirmed that eating any other kind of gas station beef jerky will give you cancer. They did not say that, by the way. That little disclaimer, that's me being silly. But still, listen, 100% grass-fed beef sticks are made from 100% grass-fed beef. That's why they're called 100% grass-fed beef sticks. What does that mean? Very good on a keto diet. Lewis, you're withering away right before my eyes. I know you said you love grass-fed beef sticks. Is that all you're living on right now?
That's my go-to snack. Right before I work out, if I'm on the go, I do the Paleo Valley beef sticks. I'll do a little bit of cheese. I'm doing some nuts. Ooh. Those are my go-to snacks, and I snack a lot. I'm working out a lot. That is the best way.
So you love a beef stick, you love a little bit of cheese, and you love a good nut. Hey, listen, whatever you get up to in your spare time, that's all for you. But if you want to try these out, if you want some sticks, some nuts and cheese, see Lewis, he's got a different kind of diet going on in 2021. But still, you want to try them out. Paleo Valley beef sticks. First of all, they taste delicious. They taste really, really good, and they're good for you. There's no chemicals, no nonsense, none of that garbage. Listen, try them out. Go to paleovalley.com. Use the code BELIEVE15. You're going to get 15% off your order. As I said, paleovalley.com. Paleovalley.com. BELIEVE15. 15% off your first order. There you go. All right, where were we? Anyway, main event. Let's get into it. I'm going to talk for a while, so do you want to start and then I'll take over?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have much to offer in terms of analysis. It was a great performance by Strickland. I mean, Strickland, you know, just sort of, it was almost like an unremarkable performance sort of by Strickland, because it wasn't like this, oh my God, crazy, like, holy shit. Uriah Hall just never seemed to really put it together. You know, his striking obviously was, you know, far superior to Strickland's, but he just never really had any crazy moments. I'm going to give you a testament to how good of a commentator you are. I texted you this earlier because I was heading home from a show in South Jersey, and I had it on in the car, and I couldn't really watch it. I had like one eye on it, and then one eye like on the road, obviously. Whoa, but your commentator, yeah, that was fucked up. I was doing the Michael Bisping.
Welcome to my world, buddy.
But your commentary really was great, because I feel like I watched the whole fight without having watched the whole fight. But yeah, I think the. You know, it was a great performance in terms of, like, you know, move Strickland forward, 5-0 now in the division. Obviously great for him. Toughest test of his career. But, you know, overall, I wasn't super impressed with the fight from what I took from it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the kind words. I don't necessarily agree. I thought Strickland looked really, really good. I kind of get your point on what you're saying. There was nothing like overly flashy. It was a workman-like performance, but it was workman, you know, done to a very high standard. It's like if someone's coming around to tile your kitchen, you know, they did the best fucking job possible.
Yeah.
It wasn't fancy. You know what I mean?
Everything's lined up.
No. Everything's fucking flush. You know what I mean? It's like if someone was coming into your house and they were redecorating, you know, like if an Israel Adesanya would be like some bloody flamboyant dude with a Philly shirt, you know what I mean? And he comes in and he's like, oh, okay. And he's talking in a fancy accent and they're bringing in archways and fucking sculpt, you know. No. Sean Strickland would be an interior designer that comes in and just like lick a paint, cover up any little holes, you know, and do some nice tile work.
Yeah.
Nice. Classy.
Solid materials.
Standard. Fundamentally basic. And it's good.
You trust him. You trust his employees, his workers. They come in. They're all polite.
On time. They show up on time.
they gave us the timeline. They said a certain date it was going to be done. It was done a day early.
They don't leave the fucking house a mess. I'll tell you that. They come up. They show up on time. And they do a damn good job. Nothing fancy. Put the fucking meat and potatoes. They get it done. What are we talking about? Anyway,
I like this analogy.
Me too. I like it a lot. I'm fucking using this on commentary. Yeah. Oh my God.
Uriah Hall showing up late.
Well, I mean, yeah, listen. I mean, if he gets the job done, it's done well. Do you know what I mean? Well, can he get the materials? They're very hard to source.
Yeah. Look, he fell asleep on the bus. He missed his stop.
He didn't show up for the first 2 weeks. Didn't call and let you know. Oh, Mr. Fucking Big Shot. He's doing another job down the street because they're paying him more money. But when he did show up, when he did do a little bit, it was good. You know what I mean? Strickland on the other side, definitely way down the peck. No, anyway, what are we saying? I thought Strickland would do it again. I know. It's not what I think at all. I was just leaning into your thing. I thought Strickland was great. I thought he was fantastic. Rhetorical question. Why did Sean Strickland beat Uriah Hall?
Well, it's rhetorical. Okay, I won't answer.
But okay, all right. Well, I'll tell you why. Wait, question. Why did? Okay. No. He believed in himself. His mind was way stronger than Uriah's. Like, when you look at Uriah Hall and you look at Sean Strickland, right, and you say that they're going to have a fight that basically comprises a stand-up fight, a kickboxing match or a boxing match, you'd pick Uriah Hall. He's a bigger guy. He's by far the better martial artist. He's slicker. He's more fast twitch fiber. He's more explosive. He's got a 4-inch reach advantage. We've seen him knock dudes out, knock out Gegard Mousasi with jumping, spinning back kicks. You would pick him all day long, but this controls everything. And Sean Strickland's mind was stronger on Saturday night. Sean Strickland doesn't give a fuck. You heard him on the post-fight speech afterwards. I don't know if you did. He's like, listen, I love the UFC. If it wasn't for this, I'd probably be cooking meth in the trailer or I'd be in prison, you know? But it's true. And he said that all week when we spoke to him on the fighter meetings. He said, I don't give a fuck about none of this. I just love to fight. And he does. He's a barbarian. He's a thug. He loves to fight. And he enjoys it, and he enjoys physically hurting people, you know. Which I don't mind. He's a fighter, so that's good. If he was my dentist, I'd have an issue with that. But if he was like looking after my kids, I'd have an issue. But he's a professional fighter, so good for him. God bless him. At least he's honest. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I'm a fan of Sean Strickland's just his thing, right? He has that badass fucking workman's type attitude. Yeah, you know, he's shows up on time, gets the job done, lines everything up the right way. But no, yeah, exactly. I like Sean Strickland. I think it was a great performance.
Let me finish the point. Yeah, no, but he believed in himself, and he just walked Uriah down, and he didn't give a fuck about what was coming back from him. And if you're Uriah Hall and you've got a guy that believes in themselves, that's also very handy and very competent and a good fighter in their own right. I'm not just saying it was only the mind, but they're walking you down constantly and they're out throwing you. And at one point it just became a battle of jabs, but Strickland was committed to it. You have to commit to everything. You know, whatever you throw, you've got to believe in, you've got to commit. You can't throw a shot and close your eyes and kind of look away. You know what I mean? You might hit, you probably won't, and you probably get hit back. Strickland believed in himself. He was one step ahead. He got off to a great start. And the better start he got, he just built in momentum. And then on the flip side, Uriah got more and more deflated. And fair play to Uriah Hall. I will say he showed a lot of heart. He did, because he got his ass kicked for 5 rounds. That's not an easy thing to do. And he still went out there in round 5 and tried his best. You know what I mean? So fair play to the man. But Strickland was just all over him. He was all over him. And it was a really good, by far the biggest win of Strickland's career.
Yeah, huge win for Strickland. And 5 in a row at middleweight. I mean, that's like a nice little streak there.
Oh, no, it is. No, absolutely. You know, by far the biggest win of his career in terms of name value as well. First main event. So I'm not sure what Uriah's ranked. I think it was ranked like number 8, something like that. I'm not sure.
Who do you remember your first 5-round fight?
I do. I remember my first main event. My first main event was Chris Lieben.
Was that still 3 rounds?
Yeah,
because that was before. Rounds. Yeah, that was before the titles.
Yeah. Oh no. My first main event was Rashad Evans. What am I saying? Then it was Chris Lieben. But the first 5-round fight for me was Jason Mayhem Miller. But it didn't go 5 rounds, of course.
Wow.
Scheduled, baby. Obviously. Just going back to Strickland, yeah, I mean, what do you think? How far do you think Strickland can get?
Where's he ranked now?
I'm not sure. Probably. Well, I think he's ranked like 11 or 12. I'll take a look. But how far do you think he can go?
Hall is ranked 8. I mean, look.
Oh, he is? Okay, so Hall's 8. So you got to think this. Monday morning, Strickland takes his spot. That's how it works. Simple as that. So he's going to be ranked number 8 now. Okay? And it is huge for Sean because now it's only big fights against big names.
The problem is I feel like there's guys like Calvin Gastelum who sort of have they do what Strickland does, and I feel like Strickland's gonna have a tougher time with those guys. He's not gonna be able to.
Well, of course, there's a reason, and again, I'm not shitting on Uriah Hall. I mean, he's ranked number 8. He just beat Anderson Silva. Said he broke Weidman's leg. I wasn't keen on that. Did you see what he said?
No, I didn't see.
He said, "I'm a lifelong martial artist. I train how to check kicks. He broke his leg because I checked his kick." Okay, and there's certain ways, and I do things to like toughen up my shin bones. He did. He said it.
I mean, he's not wrong though. He did check his kick. He did break his leg.
Yeah, I know. But it was more the fact that fucking Weinman's leg snapped. People check kicks every day. You don't check kicks with an intention to snap a leg. Whatever. I just wasn't keen on that. But all right.
Well, I'm just saying, like, stylistically speaking, I think Strickland's going to have some trouble with some of the guys who have higher level grappling and higher level striking, right? So. But yeah. We'll see. I mean, look, he's tough as fuck, dude. Yeah,
he needs a matchup. So I think the logical matchup next is Jack Hermanson. Jack Hermanson, I think he's number 7. Jack Hermanson just beat Shabazian not too long ago. He's a big name. He's had lots of main events as well. So yeah, well done to Sean Strickland, man. It's crazy. I never thought we would have seen this. I never thought he would have got to this point where he was main eventing and he was now in the top 10. But hey, listen, you work your fucking ass off. You deserve it. Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. Okay, real quick, if you guys love the show, go to our iTunes, leave us a 5-star rating, positive review. We love the great reviews, love the great comments. YouTube channel as well is always bumping, rounding the corner at 150,000 subscribers. Wow, holy shit, ladies and gentlemen. Subscribe there, leave us a comment, hit the notification button. You will get a notification every time we drop a brand new episode, which is typically Mondays and Thursdays at midnight Eastern. Also, you can get the entire on-demand library, every episode of the show that we've ever done, all ad-free, uncensored, and in one place. GasDigitalNetwork.com is the website. Use the promo code BYM. Get a 7-day free trial. Get merch at BYMmerch.com. New t-shirts, hoodies, all that stuff. Soon to be mugs, hats, and everything. Keep on checking back for new merch coming out all the time. And if you guys want to see me perform stand-up comedy on the road, LewisofSkanks.com is the website. I will be in Saratoga Springs next week, so come out to that. And obviously, you can check out the great Michael Bisping with his one-man show, and he's going to tell you the website right now where you can get those tickets for this October in the UK.
Well, maybe one day you'll get it fucking right, but yeah, myticket.co.uk. You know the drill. You listen to the show. You know the fucking score. I won't want to bore you with it anymore. Talking of boring. There's one man that's never boring in the UFC. He's a guest on this show frequently. I love the guy. He's awesome. He's obviously a hot contender in the middleweight division. I am talking about, of course, fucking Darren Till, lad. Darren Till was in the news this week. Did we talk about that? Did we play it on camera on the show? That guy, I think we did a few weeks ago. He walks into the store and he looks like Darren. Did we play that on the show?
I don't think so, no.
You know what they say? Times are hard, friends are few. Ta-da to fucking you. Did we not play that?
No.
Brian, go to my Instagram. Go to my Instagram. Hold on.
We definitely did play it.
Oh, we did
play it. Was I not here? Was it an episode I was off?
You were here.
Yeah, no, yeah, thank you, Brian, because I'm like, we did. Anyway, no, we love Darren, as we know. But so he posted a meme a few days ago, and then he came out. Apparently it was a meme having a laugh with transgender people. Right, can someone do me a favor? And this is what Callum says to me, and everyone says, oh, you're a boomer. I don't get that meme. I don't understand what I'm looking at. What is, number one, what is funny? Number two, what is offensive? Because I don't get it. But when you're transgender, let me explain for the audios. There's a woman there, she's having a scan. Right, when you're transgender and you think you're pregnant and they're looking at the screen and what is that? Is that a blob of shit or is that like a nut? What is it?
It's shit. She's got shit in her stomach and she thinks she's pregnant, but she's not. She just has to take a shit.
She's constipated.
She's constipated. Right. She's like,
all right.
It's funny. It's stupid. It's just a dumb. Yeah. It right. made me chuckle.
Yeah, well, yeah, it could happen with a woman when you're pregnant, you know, whatever. So he posted that, and then I saw him coming out because he posted on his social media, on Instagram and whatnot. The Liverpool Echo, which is the local newspaper in Liverpool, they never supported him throughout all of his fights, which is so typical, by the way. I'm sure they did. I'm sure maybe they reported, but they never got behind him to how he would have liked. And I had the similar thing with my local newspaper, actually. But whatever, that's another story. But, yeah, he's fought all over the world, and they haven't supported him that much. But then all of a sudden, when there's some way they can criticize him or slag him off, they're calling him up, wanting to talk to him about this anti-transgender meme, as I say. So that's how he posted about it, and he talked about it in a video. That's how I found out about all this stuff. And I didn't even realize what the meme was. But then apparently now someone's gone to the police as well. Apparently there's a police investigation, and Darren's been talking about it. Then he came out and said, you can't cancel someone that doesn't give a fuck. What a crazy situation. What's
the police investigation for? I don't understand that.
Well, I don't think there's going to be a police investigation at all. Do you know what I mean? Because there's no crime. He hasn't done anything wrong. Yes, Brian?
I'm just saying, this is one reason why America's way better than England. We have free speech in America. There are no investigations over tweets.
First of all, I don't think that statement is accurate for a number of reasons. But we, of course, have freedom of speech in the UK. What are you talking about? How much fucking propaganda has been brain-fed and spoon-fed to you since you were a child? Listen, we have freedom of speech. Nothing's going to happen. I don't know. I don't want to get into the whole transgender thing because I understand some people are sensitive to that, and I understand that. Darren's not a bad guy. Darren's just having a laugh. He saw something, he thought it was funny, and he posted it.
It's not a transgender thing. It's almost like a human thing where you go, well, we're all humans. There's a funny meme about something. It's not saying that transgendered people aren't human beings. It's not saying that they should be treated anything less than human. It's not saying that they're not real or legitimate. It's just making fun of sort of a physiological element and a very realistic element to them, which is they can't actually get pregnant. So are they off limits?
But are
transgender people off limits in terms of making jokes, and or are they in on the joke? Can we make fun of them? Can they be a part of that? Because in my experience as a comedian, an offensive comedian, mind you, you're getting everybody to be in on the joke by making fun of everybody. We make fun of ourselves. We make fun of every sort of race, every color, every creed, every sexuality. And we're all sort of on the same level, because the idea is that in comedy, no one's really safe. That's sort of the great equalizer, is that everybody can be made fun of, and that is true equality. That's equality. If you take that away from certain people, you're saying that they're not equal.
That's an interesting point, and I don't have the knowledge on the transgender environment to come back with anything. But that's a solid point, what you say. You know what I mean? To a certain degree. But I think what their point is, I say their point. They're fucking like, there's a day, there's a team, there's an organization.
But they want to be called they. They literally want to be called they.
Oh, really? Okay. Fuck, I'm a genius, man. But no. I think maybe because there's a lot of suicide amongst transgender teens, and maybe in their opinion, the people that have complained, when I say they, that's what I'm talking about. The people that have complained feel that it's making light, that it's making fun. And of course, that's not Darren's perspective. Darren's just seeing something, he thought it was funny, and he posted it. Okay. Darren's not, to my knowledge anyway, he's not a homophobic person. I don't think he's a transphobic person. He takes the piss out of everyone. To your point, Lewis, Darren's a very silly guy. Darren's got a great sense of humor. He's fucking hilarious. And yeah, okay, he's definitely on the Legion of Skank side of things. He's offensive. You know what I mean? He is. And people love him for it. You know, yeah. I honestly don't think he meant any offense. And I'm sure if he thought that someone, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't even speak for Dan because maybe I'm wrong. But the guy that I know that I've got to know pretty well, because we talk on the phone here and there now as well. And the guy that I've got to know, I think, isn't purposely trying to make people feel bad. He's trying to have a laugh and then make other people feel amused. Maybe it is at someone else's expense, but a lot of the time it's at my expense. He went on a fucking tirade of abuse on Twitter last week, making fun of my eye. Do you know what I mean? He takes the piss out of everyone. So I hear your point, and it's actually an interesting point that you raised.
Yeah, I mean, look, offensive comedy is sort of the business that I'm in, right? And look, Darren's not a comedian. So there is an argument there. There's another side of it, which is Darren has a boss. You know, we have this conversation. We don't have the conversation, but we.
Can I say something?
Of course.
You said Darren's a boss. He actually tweeted the shot or Instagrammed. You can't cancel someone that doesn't give a shit. When I looked at it on Instagram, no, it was liked by Dana White.
Oh, nice. Well, good. It just,
liked by Dana White.
Luckily, Dana White and company, they seem to be on the side of freedom of speech, and they really are about protecting the fighters. And you got to really fuck up. You got to be an asshole to sort of fuck things up with the UFC. But the reality is, it is a company that has owned. The parent company for the UFC is a massive, massive company. The partnership with ESPN, ESPN is owned by Disney. These are massive corporations. You know, it's something that, you know, you and I both have to, it's a different thing. When I'm on this show, I have a different, you know, the jokes I make on this show are much different than I make on a show like Legion of Skanks for that exact reason. You know, we have to, you know, I sort of have respect for that. And you have a different thing and you're in like the real industry. I've sort of created my own little fake industry that I'm in. Like, I don't really care about TV or any of that stuff. Right. But Darren, there's something to be said there where he does have to toe the line to a certain degree. If you want to be a world famous fighter and a world-class UFC fighter and become a champion one day and become a household name, you have to play by certain rules. So one day he's going to have to sort of decide, does he want to be funny on Twitter or does he want to be a UFC world champion?
Yeah, well, it's not just that either. Because, of course, I'm not talking about Darren now. I'm not talking about Darren. I'm talking about a hypothetical situation. Because in fight sports, for the most part, your fighting should do the talking. So with him becoming a world champion, it doesn't matter what he tweets, whether they're offensive or not. Even if it is offensive or deemed offensive or in someone's opinion, it's offensive. If you can't win the fights, you can't win the fights. It doesn't matter how good your fucking Twitter handle is. You know what I mean? That's first and foremost. But secondly, then, with something like this, the UFC are very sensitive to your point. They are. When I said, oh, Dana White like that, that doesn't mean he's fucking all in on offending transgender people. No, it's the exact opposite. They are very LGBTQ aware and they support those matters very, very much so. Do you know what I mean? I think when it was Pride Month, all the ladies that you know, they came out, there was rainbows all over the place. You know what I mean? I'm not picking the right words, but
I mean, look, you know, the UFC's, yeah, they're playing whatever game everyone else is playing.
I know they're not. No, they're
I know, dude. AT&T fucking loves Pride. Yeah, no, I know, dude.
No, it's true, though. You know, there's so many gay fighters. Well, in the women, I don't know about the men, but they are. They don't give a fuck.
In my mind,
fans, whatever, it doesn't matter. They just want to put on good fights. And if someone's got a sense of humor and they're being a laugh, you know, then maybe that's one thing. If someone's being a dick and they're trying to be offensive, it's something very, very different. If you're actually homophobic and you're out there and you're talking shit, then you should be canceled. You should be fired. And you should, you know what I mean? Of course, it's freedom of speech. But what I'm saying is the UFC, if you're out there and it's in you're going so homophobic or whatever, then they're like, we can't allow you to represent our company.
Maybe it's just because, like, in my mind, it is such a foregone conclusion that gay people are equal and have equal rights and should have equal rights. Like, it doesn't need to be overstated. I don't need to wear a fucking rainbow flag on my shirt. I don't need to go, like, I just feel like it's, and I'm not saying the UFC, in general, every company during Pride Month, they fucking change their logo.
But you can't take away from the goodness of that. Do you know what
I mean? It's marketing. It's fucking all right.
But still, see your point, what you said before. You tread the line on this because I've worked for the UFC. I do work for the UFC. You know what I mean? But just because someone does, they don't have to do that. And you don't necessarily get criticized for doing it. Do you know what I mean? But anyway, we're going off the topic here. We're going off the tangent. We're talking about Darren Till. So it's mental. So there was a police investigation, which is nuts. You know what I mean? But then I looked at his Instagram. I think it was the day after, and it had gone. And I thought, fuck, he has literally been cancelled.
He's in jail.
I don't know what it was, in cyber jail or internet jail or fucking something. Yeah, because it was gone. But I called him up and said, Darren, what's happening? He said, nah. So I've just taken a break. So I think he was getting a fair bit of abuse. So maybe we'll get him on the show. He can tell us about it. But I'm sure. All I wanted to say is the Darren that I know, he's not trying to cause any offense. He's a young guy. He was having a laugh. And he's not a bad guy. He's not a bad person. Yeah. He's a good guy. He has a good sense of humor. Maybe he got a bit carried away. But anyone that's fucking going on there and talking shit, just steady on. Come on. He was having a laugh.
Yeah. And look, it, you know, you're never going to offend me, Darren Till. I love what you do and I love what you say. And I like this response to it as well, which is like, he doesn't give a fuck, you know?
I didn't even get it. I didn't understand what it was.
It's not even slightly hateful. It's so dumb where it's like, are we pretending that transgender people can get pregnant? What is this dumb conversation we're having? Like this is like silly. It's silly. It's like people just see the buzzwords and they go, he's making a joke about transgender people, he's punching down, and you go like, well, no, he's not saying that they're less than. He's simply just making a silly observation. It's not even him.
Sure.
He's sharing a fucking meme. First of all, he didn't make the meme.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of dumb. But once again, this is the world we live in.
But you know,
I don't raise my child to live in my world of offensive jokes. I raise my child to live in the world that you can't make jokes like this. You can't share memes like that and expect to go to college or have a real job. It's like, you know, it's a different world. It's a different time today.
Yeah, no, well, I think, and I'm not talking about Darren's Instagram post here and the transgender thing or gay thing or anyone's LGBTQ concerns. I'm changing the subjects to a certain degree, but people just don't seem to have as thick of a skin these days. Do you know what I mean? And that's just the world we're living in. That's why I tweeted out last week. I said the whole world's gone fucking soft. I'm just talking about in everything these days. Fuck me. You gotta walk on eggshells in this life. You gotta walk on eggshells.
You just said people don't have to have as thick of a skin. And I stopped myself from making a transgendered cutting off dick joke because I said, you know what? It's not okay. I stopped myself. I'm even censoring myself right now. And I shouldn't have. I should have just went for it, Bisping.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure, like, I have my friend MJ, you know, I hate to bring her up because it feels like I'm bringing up my token transgender friend every time, but it's true. If she was here and you said that, I don't think she would have been offended. I think she would have found that funny. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, but I don't know. I don't know the facts. I don't know the ins or the outs, and I can't pretend to. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, us sitting here and pretending we do, because I'm sure there's a whole other side of why they can justify it.
I'm sure there's transgender people that have great sense of humor, and then I'm sure there's transgender people that have horseshit senses of humor.
Oh, yeah.
As well. I have a joke in my act
just
now.
Like Harrington, he has a shit sense of humor. Go on.
I have a joke in my act where I talk about transgendered people, and in my act now, I was like somebody came up to me and they were like, how do you think a transgendered person would feel if they heard that joke? And I was like, well, they had a good sense of humor, they'd probably laugh. I was like, I mean, they're still a dude deep down inside. They didn't cut out their sense of humor.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they would be offended because they're like, hold on, I inside I am a woman, but still. But anyway, there you go, Darren.
Darren, we stand in solidarity with you, and we've spent 15 minutes.
Well, I'm not saying we stand in solidarity, offending the entire transgender community. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, Darren, so careful with your fucking social media, buddy. Anyway, what should we get into? A big fight announcement at the weekend or yesterday or sometime. But Michael Chandler will be taking on Justin Gaethje. I think that is number two. Versus number three, Harrington, if you're on, jump on and give us a bit of lowdown. Tell us when and where and all the rest of it. If you are there, if you're not there, it doesn't matter. But yeah, I believe that's number two versus, oh no, three versus four. Champ is Oliveira. One would be Poirier. Two, Chandler. Three, Gaethje. Is that right?
No, it's two, Gaethje. Number three is Beneil Dariush. And then number four is Michael Chandler right now.
Yeah, and when's that fight happening?
So they verbally agreed to it for the UFC card that's projected to be in November at MSG, the one that would be headlined by Kamaru Usman and Colby Covington 2. I believe it's UFC 266. I'll double check the number right now.
Is that co-main event?
Yeah, that's what they're talking about for the co-main event for that card.
That's a great fight. So Kamaru versus Covington, Chandler versus Gaethje. Geez, getting off to a good start. That's going to be a good card. Looking forward to it. Do you know what's also going to be a good card this week, Lewis?
What?
UFC 265. You know why? Because we've got the Black Beast taking on Cyril Garn for the interim heavyweight championship of the world. It's going to be a good one. The Black Beast, always fun to watch. Love that man.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. It's going to be a great fight, you know. Interim championship of the world, sort of roll my eyes at that, but I'm not hating. It's great.
No, I know everyone does. The reality is, you know, whatever. Well, you can't deny Francis Ngannou's the champ. He's the champ. Simple as fucking that. I don't know what's going on. I'm not in the UFC towers. I don't see what's happening. I'm not privy to the conversations, but there's talk of Ngannou and John Jones, and it was Ngannou versus Lewis, and then it's Ngannou and John Jones, and John Jones wants a lot of money by all accounts. I don't know. Perhaps Ngannou wants a lot of money for whatever reason. I don't know. Nobody knows. Only people that know are the people involved, you know. That fight's not happening right now. They've got to keep the division moving along, and I think that's a good thing. I interim belts, all right, you roll your eyes, whatever, you know, but it's something. It means something to the fighters. They're not going to roll their eyes when they receive it. You know, Dustin Poirier talks about being the interim champion. Israel Adesanya, when he was the champion, he said that when he won the belt, that was his first defense, because when he beat Anderson for the interim title, he classes that as the real thing. So, yeah, okay, some people might roll their eyes, but the fighters to themselves, it's a big fucking deal.
So, yes, there's also different interim circumstances, right? So I'm just saying if Ciryl Gane becomes the interim heavyweight champion of the world, it doesn't hold as much legitimacy as other ones. And I don't remember the specific circumstances surrounding Israel or any of the other people you had mentioned. But I'm just saying it does seem, number one, like it's a little bit unnecessary of an interim championship just in terms of time off. When did Ngannou last fight? It wasn't that long ago. And then number two, we discussed it on the last show. I just feel like if we're doing an interim championship at heavyweight with Derek Lewis, how is Stipe Miocic not on the other side of that? That is sort of crazy to me. It's just glaring to me.
Yeah, no, that's a fair comment. But the interim thing, it is happening. They're happy about it.
It's fucking incredible. Like, what a bonkers fight. It's an incredible fight.
All that does is, though, it just solidifies the number one contender. I guarantee Ngannou doesn't give a fuck. I've told the story before. I told it on BT Sport last week. I'll tell it again. When I was the champ, I was out in Thailand filming Triple Threat, and Dana called. He wanted me to fight. I said, I can't fight. My leg's fucked up. And he was like, you know, he was a little skeptical because people can just fake injuries. I said, hold on. And I took a picture of my legs and I sent it to him. And one was like 2.5 times the size of the other. It was fucking agony. He said, okay. He said, fair enough. No, I totally get it, Mike. I said, I'm having surgery when I get back. He said, well, we're going to have to do an interim belt then. I said, okay, great. Fucking do it. Couldn't give a fuck. Just meets, solidifies the number one contender. And when Ngannou and Lewis or Ngannou and Gane meet, they can bill it as champion versus champion. They're a bigger star already. So it means that his contender is going to be a bigger star. So they sell more pay-per-views. So I understand your point to a certain degree, but no one really involved gives a fuck because Ngannou or Lewis get to fucking bring a piece of metal home. And then Ngannou gets a fucking more worthy title challenge down the line. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it as well. What else on the card? And obviously, we're going to try to get another episode in later on in the week. Please put that knife away. Come on,
bitch. We're going to fucking try, okay?
Get those boxing knives. That's all he does.
You don't let me down. I'm British. I always got a knife by me.
Boy. We're going to try to get another show later on in the week.
So I got knives everywhere, bro. You come in my house, I will fucking knife you up.
You want to save our picks and the rest of the card breakdown for later on in the week?
Yeah. We'll do that in the second show. But appreciate you tuning in, being with us, sticking with us for the journey, and we'll be back maybe more than likely later in the week.